this is going to be kind of the culmination of what we've been going through when it's been, this freedom to bondage subject that we've been talking about. And one of the things that I cannot take credit for, because if, I think Ed is my resident, sermon junkie. He cheats. He gets access to the file online and then he looks at my notes and then he can kind of read ahead and know where I am. And according to Holly and everybody yesterday, last Sunday, that you couldn't use my notes. It wouldn't have mattered. That wasn't me. That was God. I had nothing to do with that sermon. Okay. So if you guys got, you felt rebuked or you felt convicted in any way, that wasn't me. All right. That wasn't me. That was the Spirit of God. But God led us to another spot that I knew God was doing something. I didn't know entirely what it was. And I knew that that something was going to be in relation to this subject of being free and set free and what that freedom looked like. And God led us to that point where there is a place that we are called to, that we are called to live in. Okay? And it is not here. And you might be like, well, wait a minute. What are you getting at, Pastor? Am I supposed to, like, you know, end my life now so I can go into this new place because that's what I need to do? No, that's not at all. That price has been paid for thanks to Jesus. Amen? But we have been called to this higher elevation or this heavenly place. And our life is to be there as believers. Although the attractions of this world may keep us from being there, that does not mean that that is what we are called to be. Amen? So all this leading to that freedom subject, one of the things God highlighted is that freedom in Christ does not mean freedom for us to do whatever we want. We understood that, right? All right, that's not what we are called to. However, he does give us time and opportunity for the things that we like to do. We do have the capacity and the ability to enjoy the life that we have to live here on this earth. God has not taken that away from us, right? We're still here. And so why we're still here, we are able to enjoy the things that God has given to us. Our families, our friends, the relationships we build, the way we enjoy those relationships. Sometimes it's entertainment, sometimes it's songs, movies, whatever, games, it doesn't matter what it is. You are allowed to enjoy those things, but, there is a caveat, right? We still have a responsibility while we are in Christ to always put Him before all things. Right? That's the key. The key is His will in our lives. The key is Him first, right? This is all this boils down to. When we understand this, we get the point of what that freedom is. That freedom that we have is not freedom to do whatever we want. It's freedom from the captivity. It's freedom from law. It's freedom from sin. That's where we are. But there's more. And this was kind of alluded to last week, which was Jesus did not die just so that we could be set free from law and sin. Right? Because if that was the case, why would we still be here? Why would we be still in a world that exists laws and the temptation of sin to live in when we're already set free from it? Right? That freedom from this would basically mean the point of this world is no longer to be here. Why would I be left here, though I am free from these things, to just exist in this pool of filth and disgusting? Right? It's like parents, you get your kid all cleaned up. You don't go put them in the mud puddle after you got them clean. Right? They find it, but that's not the point. You didn't go, here, I just washed you up, you're nice and clean, now back in the mud you go. This would be a senseless cycle. Right? That's not what Jesus did. There is a point to what Jesus died for, more than just freedom from sin, freedom from death, freedom from the things that we know. Jesus paid for everything on the cross so that we would have access. Say access, church. You have access. Access to what? Better question. Access to whom? You have access to the Father. Right? You have access to the Father because of the Son. This is what is key to what we are going to talk about. Not only do we have access to the Father, but we have access to His Spirit. Right? Why do we have access to the Spirit? Well, because we've been promised the Helper. And that Jesus had to go so that the Helper would come. And if I recall, in that moment, in that same utterance, Jesus says, I am going to go and prepare a place for you and me, right? Us. And the Spirit is here now making intercession for us on behalf of Him, but that intercession we tend to treat as though He is just dealing with our junk and preparing us to go home in glory. That's not what's happening, church. That's a misleading and a misguiding. That is not what He's doing. That intercession is actually us being given access to the Father in any moment at any point in time. You were like, well, wait a minute, I don't understand. Well, if you get baptized in the Holy Spirit, you will understand. Because the moment that happens, you're already in the presence of the Father. And what is happening to you in that moment is that intercession. Because though I am a wretched man, I am in the presence of a holy God, and it's only by His Spirit that I am able to be in that place. And so there is a literal militant war going on because my flesh wants nothing to do with Him, but my spirit wants everything to do with Him. And it cries out, Abba Father. This is where we are being called to. This is the access that we have in Christ. Amen? And now this access is not, and this is going to be the bigger step for everybody today, it is not the, what's a good analogy here? We'll pay homage to our roots here in New Jersey. It is not access to Wawa, which is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Oh, and by the way, even if the state goes, hey, by the way, everything's shut down, but Wawa. Because Wawa has to supply coffee to all the first responders. So Wawa's open all the time, right? So that's really convenient, hence its name. It is a convenience store, right? We think access is, well, I can go there whenever I want, right? Because I have access. What do you need to go into a Wawa? You just need money, really, unless you want to, you know, five-finger discount it. You can repent later. But the point is that we treat access to God like access to Wawa. Where He's there, I know He's there, but I can go whenever it's convenient for me. So I'm going to go because I know it's an open heaven and I can just go whenever I want. I have access. Right? That's the access. We think access is availability, an open door policy, so to speak, that we have with God, that we can just go whenever we can, or whenever it's convenient, or whenever we want to. But that's not the access that He gave you. The access He gave you was to come and dwell. That word is dwell, church. Say dwell. He wants you to dwell with Him. Jesus did not make a way and prepare for you convenience stores for you to come and visit occasionally. He made a dwelling place for you. This is where we are to live. Not visit, live. And that's where we're going today. So Galatians 5:25 and then Romans 8:1. These are real quick, not going to take long. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit, or let us walk in the Spirit, right? Oh, you're on NIV. Huh? You're slipping, you're tricky, woo! Tricky, tricky, tricky. It's okay. That's alright. It's alright. Romans 8:1 says, therefore there is now no condemnations for those who are in Christ Jesus, right? What I want us to focus on is what these two verses are telling us. In Galatians 5, we're being told, right, that our life through the Spirit of God, who now dwells in who? In you, right? Jesus now lives in you. That is your access card, right? It's your ticket, right? It's how you get in. You can't get in if you don't know Jesus. I know it of Jesus. Do you know it of Jesus? Then you can go too, right? It's that simple. But only that way is the way, right? But again, reiterating, it's not to come and go as we please, but the intention is for us to dwell. How can I say that, right? There is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. We are told to live in this manner. Your life is hidden in Christ. Amen? That means if our life is hidden in Christ, and then Jesus has come and made a way for us, and that way is through the Spirit, we now have to live in the Spirit, because that is the way we come to the Father, through the provision of the cross in Christ. This is where we are. But what is this Spirit that we have in us? Who is this Spirit that lives within you? You know Him. But why is it we treat Him as an it? We do. We have put a limitation on Him, as though He is an expungible resource, as though He runs out of steam. Guess what? He has an unlimited source, because He is the Spirit of God. He cannot be depleted. He cannot run out. So guess who runs out? We do. He does not. We run out. He is also not summoned. Okay? You cannot conjure the Holy Spirit. He comes and goes as He pleases. Why? Because He is God and I am not. I don't have the authority to call on the Holy Spirit to come do something. I'm submitted to the moving of the Holy Spirit when He wants to do something. How many people have tried to pray for something to happen and nothing happened? There's a reason why. Because that's motivated out of your flesh. That wasn't motivated by the Spirit of God. But when the Spirit moves upon you, He will accomplish the will He wants to accomplish. We are just mere vessels. If anybody's conjured or summoned, it's us, not Him. And thirdly, we do not control Him. I don't get to tell Him what to do. He tells me what to do. And so submission to the Holy Spirit is a prerequisite to dwelling in the presence of the King. Because if you are not submitted to His authority, His preparedness, His prerequisites, what He requires of you to come, guess what you will never do? You will not dwell. You will only visit. And I'm here to tell you a sad story. Guess what the church does currently? They only visit. How can I tell? Well, because I haven't seen much movement of power and might in the Spirit of God in the church very much. Why is that? Because they're all waiting for pastor to be moved by the Spirit of God to go do something. Well, guess what? The Holy Spirit wasn't tapping me. He was tapping you. But you weren't responding. So what happened? Did God not move? God sure did. God did. But you thought you were waiting for the man of God to come and do something. And the man of God is sitting there going, nope, that wasn't for me, that was for you. We've had many a times where that has happened. Has that not happened? In this house particularly. Where I know for a fact, God did something and he moved on somebody's heart and that person didn't catch it. Was God upset? Nope. That's not his character. Maybe a little disappointed, but God will still have his way. But he wanted to use you. He's not a tyrant or an ogre. Our life that is now hidden in Christ, according to Colossians 3:3, is accessed via the Spirit. All right? So, what does that mean? Well, that means I have Jesus who makes a space in my life, in my heart, right? That's what we teach kids. It's for, you're forever home, right? But the access I have to everything in Christ is not provided in any other means or manner except through his Spirit. All that Jesus has given to me and provides in me comes through his Spirit. Right? All right? This is where we are going, church. If we have completely died and our flesh is no more, what remains? Only the Spirit. Our attachment to this world and our flesh will keep us from dwelling in the Spirit. So, what does that mean? What do you got to do? You got to die. Seems like a hard request. Well, it's not. How many people have done this before and laid it all at the feet of Jesus and said, I am no longer carrying this carcass around. I do not like the man that I am or woman that I am. And I don't want to continue living the lifestyle that I'm living. I surrender it all to you, Jesus, and I leave it at the foot of Jesus. And I go on, moving on. Only to find yourself do what? What do? We return back to the vomit, we pick up the carcass, we wear it like a skin suit, and we go back into the stuff that we've been a part of. Why do we do this all the time? Oh, by the way, just real quick, victim status, how many? How many people fall for it? Just honesty, it's okay, it's fine. We're all humans, right? Okay, cool. Then we can all answer this question. Why do we do that? Seems like a good idea at the time. Though that doesn't sound right to me. Human nature. I love that one. We is dumb. It's probably the closest answer. See, there's something very important. Very, very important. Matter of fact, I'm going to pull an audible here real quick because God just moved on me for something. So hold tight. Because I don't want to miss something that God wants to say. I'm trying to call on the scripture, but the scripture is make no provision for the flesh. Put on Christ and make no provision for the flesh. I can't think of the... Right, Ephesians? Yeah, maybe I already have it. I believe you are correct. You can get there real quick. No, I don't see it here in Ephesians. Six. So mine says stand against the wiles of the devil. It doesn't say make no provision for the flesh. Maybe that's why I can't find it. 13:14. Thank you. I knew you guys would help me out. So in Romans 13:14, you got it up there for me there, brother? Thank you. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. I knew the scripture. Don't ask me to remember the verses. what is he saying? When it says make no provision for the flesh, how does one make no provision for something? Don't give it time. Okay. That fails. Everybody here will admit to that. Every time you say don't think about it, what's the first thing you think about? What you were just told not to think about. It's like the whole don't look down thing, right? Don't look down. The first thing you do, you look down. That don't work. We're dumb. That's why I said it. I kind of think you're the closest person to answering correctly. Humans is dumb. Okay? We should go to Christ, right? But that's not what this says. It says die, but we've already established that dying we do, but we tend to go back and pick up the carcass and go back and rerun the program because we think we missed something. There has to be a reason on how, when we say, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. I'm not saying this to beat a drum, but I want you to hear something the Lord is saying, because again, this isn't even in my notes. The Lord is saying something. This is not a supplication system. Putting on Jesus is protocol for our life and standard in Him, period, regardless. The making no provision for the flesh part is not an injunction to putting on Jesus. You don't take Jesus off and put on the flesh. That's not what's happening, right? Because we reckon ourselves as dead when we put on Christ. So the no provision part should be considered a no-brainer. If it's something like that, then why is Scripture replete here in telling us to make no provision for it? There's got to be a reason for why. The reason is the provision comes from a source. And the attachment to said source makes the provision, right? Kids need parents to provide house, food, nourishment, all those things, right? If a kid is not in the house, where's their provision? Where does it now come from? Has to come from somewhere, right? Let me give you another example. Because I know there's some intensity here. If you are here in this world living, which is gratifying your flesh, what is providing every source of need that your flesh has? This area, right? If I leave this area and I go somewhere where there is no provision for the flesh, do you see what God's telling you? Making no provision for the flesh is not a call to, you need to push away all of this stuff that's tempting you. It's actually calling you to come and dwell where there is no provision for the flesh. Making no provision for the flesh is actually a call for us to elevate where we are in. We cannot be in Christ, living in this world, and continue to contribute to the flesh where there's tons of provision here when we are called to live in a standard of excellence that is above those things. Making no provision for the flesh is actually a call to elevate your life. You have to get out of the system in the world to a place where there's no source of provision for it. So let's cover that in more detail. Ephesians 2, 4 through 10. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So I'm going to pause there. We come to Christ. We accept Jesus into our hearts, and our lives. Now, we are one with the Son, right? We have tons of scripture to support this. We understand that Jesus is the head. We are the body, right? We understand through the marriage feast, right, that he is the bride, groom and we are the bride, right? And when the two come together, we are made one, right? Everything that we know that the Bible tells us about the relationship Jesus has with us individually, but collectively as a whole, is that we are one with him because of what he has done. Amen? Questions, concerns, comments? Okay, cool. Now, understand, where are you at? Because where's Jesus at? He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. Where am I seated? Bing. We're right there with him. That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. This is important because he is addressing the provision problem, which is we will try to make the provision out of our own selves and what we can do out of our flesh to make our own way. And we are being told that you can't because no flesh can enter into the presence of the God that we know and serve. Amen. So period, end of discussion. You can't do it. You can't earn it. You can't prove it. You can't make it happen by your own way. It has to come by him and only his standard. Not of works, lest anyone should boast, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And the only way we will walk in them is if we are in the correct position and place that we are supposed to be. Because anything else will be provided or sourced by the systems in this world. So, Ephesians 2 is telling us about our position, but it is also highlighting this realm because it states Christ is seated where? Where is he seated? Right hand of the Father in heavenly places. Ooh. Heaven or heavenly places? What is this? The position or realm that God dwells in is the most holy of holies. Do you understand this? Where God is and resides and makes his home and his dwelling is the holiest of holies. How do I know this? Well, we have a lot of Old Testament example of this, correct? The Old Testament, they built this big thing called a tabernacle. And they built sections inside the tabernacle, and inside that tabernacle, there's one place called the Holy of Holies. And in that place where the high priest would enter in is where they would come to meet face to face with God Almighty. That was the place he would come. Because that was a place that was an actual shadow, an earthly shadow, of his actual dwelling place in heaven. That he gave us the tools to build and the guidance in the way so that he could come and meet with us, though we were at that time not worthy, right? Because of sin, because of the corruption and all the things of this world. But there was a lot of stuff that the high priest had to do. And sometimes if they missed just one step, well, we need a new high priest, everybody. John didn't do something right. Pull his sorry butt out by the rope, and we're going to put all those cool jingly cloths on you now, and you go in. Good luck. Of whom, by the way, I'm not sure, but high priest. We have a high priest now. Who's our high priest? His name is Jesus. Oh, wow. And he made that atonement sacrifice on the cross, right? And now Jesus now dwells within me. So now that access that I have to go before the Father is made in the provision of the cross through Christ Jesus and the blood that he poured out on the mercy seat, that I no longer have to make any more sacrifices, right? So that I can come whenever and as often to the Father as I like. I can go into the Holy of Holies. I can come before our mighty God and King. The position or realm that true salvation moves us into is called the heavenly places. and this is, true salvation moves us into is called the heavenly places. When we accept Christ as Lord and Savior, the access that we now have, because we are now seated at the right hand of the Father with Christ, we are invited to be in those heavenly places. Of which, where does Christ dwell? He dwells there at the right hand of the Father. That's his place. That's his rightful place. Amen? And so if this is where our Father resides, and Christ, our Savior, resides, and he abides in us, and we abide in him, where is our abode? Should be. But if we don't dwell there, we dwell here, we make provision for the flesh, then we wonder why we repeat the process. Making no provision for the flesh is only going to come when we actually dwell in the heavenly places that God has called us to dwell in. Now, to get a little bit deeper on this, Hebrews 8, 1 through 2, and we got a lot more to spend. Now, this is the main point of the things we are saying, which if you go ahead and read back in Hebrews 7, you'll talk and they'll go through and read all that. I'll just do that on your own time. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord erected and not man. This is very important information. How do I say that? One, we know who our high priest is, right? Jesus. And we know that Jesus said that I'm going to leave and I'm going to leave you with a helper because I have to go and prepare a place for you. This place was prepared beforehand. And this place is what? What is this place that he has prepared before? We have the throne of majesty, which is whose throne? God's throne. This tells us God is king. He is the Lord of lords. He is the King of kings. There is none greater, there is none more majesty, there is none better. He is the one true God, right? But he is also the minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle. Sanctuary, true tabernacle. These were erected before, and these are the shadows in the earth that the Old Testament believers built what we understand to be a tabernacle, and seeing the illustrations of the Jewish tabernacle and what they look like as an emulation of what was already created in heaven. What are these places? First, we have the throne room, right? Where's the throne of the majesty is located. We understand the throne room. So if you are coming to speak with God Almighty, where are you going to find him? In the throne room, right? How many people have been to the throne room of heaven? Have ever seen his feet? Just asking. You have access, by the way, to the sanctuary. The sanctuary is the Holy of Holies. This is the dwelling place of God, to which we are welcomed in. True tabernacle, this is his dwelling place. The whole place is the true tabernacle. These are just some terms to get you familiarized with what God's doing. However, if you go on, which we will do, through Hebrews 9 and Hebrews 10, you will see more and more of what God is actually trying to get us to be and live and dwell in. This is the point. All this might seem very supernaturally, right? Over-spiritualized, maybe. Sure, whatever. Call me whatever you want. What I do know is some facts. One, Jesus, right, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and because of the blood of Christ and all things he paid for, I am allowed to be in that same place because he has made me worthy to be there. What makes me disqualified? No flesh can enter into the presence of a mighty God whom we serve. So if I am busy making provision for the flesh here on this earth, I'm not going to go into the presence of the Father because I'm not allowed. Well, wait a minute. That seems like a catch-22. It's not. The issue comes with, if you say you died to the flesh and you've buried the flesh, right? Then move on and go make your dwelling place with Christ where you are supposed to be seated and where your dwelling place is. Here's the part. We have this misconception that that preparation and everything Christ prepared is for when he comes and takes us all home. Yeah, there's a place for you then too, but that's not what he's prepared now. This is what we have to get, church. We have to understand that the entire purpose of what Christ has done and our plan now for all he is doing here is not for us to continue to sit in the mud and the muck and continue to deal with this transfer of sin, passing it away and going on and cleaning us up over and over again system. You're here for a plan and a purpose, but that is only going to be executed when you're not making provision for the flesh because you have seated yourself where you belong. And the only way you can seat yourself there is to die once and for all to the things of God and actually move your carcass where it belongs into the things of God. And you might be like, well, how do I do that, Pastor? Oh, that's a very good question. Thank you. I'm glad somebody asked. Hebrews 9, 2 through 8. For a tabernacle was prepared, the first part in which was the lampstand, the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. Behind the second veil, the part of the tabernacle, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant overlaid on all sides with gold, in which were the golden pot that had the manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tablets of the covenant. You're like, what is this all about? And above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. Of these things we cannot now speak in detail. Now when these things had been thus prepared, the priest always went into the first part of the tabernacle performing the services. Right? Who was that? Who were the priests? We are, right? Because the priests were the Levites and we are. Thank you. This isn't key. Performing services, but into the second part, the high priest went alone once a year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the people's sin committed in ignorance. The Holy Spirit indicating this, that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest while the first tabernacle was still standing. But we now know that that has come to final because Jesus came, paid the ultimate price, poured it on the mercy seat, and in doing so, became the high priest that was needed to complete this entire thing. But that does not change your role. You are still a priest. And in so, you are still where? Where are the priests located, church? In the sanctuary. In the tabernacle, performing what? The services. What are the services? Come on. Thank you! Say it louder so they can hear. Your worship! Right? Your offerings, your sharing, your breaking of bread, the management of the wicks, and the ministry of the church and the assembly of the saints, the provision for the tents of meeting on the outside in the camps, all of that was to the order of the Levites and to continue to do what? Now this is key, guys, because this is very important. Did the tabernacle stay put? No, it moved when God moved, right? So you're also in charge of making sure you stay in line where God is going and moving. You're submitted to the Spirit of God and where He is telling you to go. And that tabernacle that exists in you needs to be moved and carried to the new things that God is doing and where He is leading you to. That's your job. You're supposed to maintain the dwelling place. That's why you're not. Because you're so busy with the things in the world and the flesh that you're letting the tabernacle get rust and destroyed and fall apart. And then you wonder why it's so hard to get back to these places. Because you have failed in your duty and obligation that you committed to Christ that you would be a Levite and you would maintain the temple. What is the temple of God? You are. Making no provision for the flesh is maintaining the temple and staying in the place that God has called you to dwell with Him in. When He moves, we move. I love that song. Where you go, I go. Where you stay, I stay. When you move. I will follow you. That is your job as a Levite. That's your job as a minister and a priest. And you don't need to say, well, I'm not called to be a minister. You are. Because Jesus, who called you into that service as a priest, calls you to do that no matter what. Even if it's just for your own self. When you read the Bible, you are ministering the gospel to yourself. You're telling your spirit man where you need to dwell. Come on, church. 11 and 12. But Christ came as the high priest of the good things to come with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place and once for all having obtained eternal redemption. This is what I just told you guys. I should have let him do it. Probably would have been more effective. Get out of the way, Gary. Hebrews 10, 19 through 22. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, the water of the word. Church, hear what God is calling you to. He's not calling you to something impossible. He's calling you to his provision. The provision for the flesh is gone. The provision for the spirit is manifold. And your access is always there. The only reason we battle and struggle is because we chose to make our dwelling place here and not in the temple. Not in the tabernacle, not created by man, not created with hands, but that was created by Christ and prepared for us so that we could dwell with him. Not visit with him. Dwell. To bring this to full circle. Your freedom from the law. Your freedom from sin. Your freedom from bondage. Your freedom is not found here. I don't care how free this country is and tells you you are. You're still a slave to it. There's only one freedom in this world. And that is freedom in Christ. Everything else falls short. Everything else is subjected to the ruler of this world. Even though we think, as a nation, we've made ourselves a holy nation because we set ourselves apart and put our commandments in line with biblical standards. Look, our forefathers were great people. I'm not arguing that point. But you can see how the ruler of this world is still ruling and governing even the hearts of man today, to take even the good things that men of God have designed and start to water them down and break them down into evil practices and plans. I never thought ever in my time of reading the Word of God that I would sit here and go, oh, there would be a new resurrection of Sodom and Gomorrah, and yet I find that we're living in that state. And if you don't think I'm right, just watch the news. The godlessness of this world is because the godly are not dwelling in the tabernacle that he has prepared. You can be of ill work and of ill help when you are only visiting the place from which all provision, all power, all authority, control over every evil and wicked scheme that this world has, everything that you need to succeed and to accomplish the divine purpose and will in your life is not supplied here. It is supplied there in the heavenly places, and you can only get that if you dwell, not visit. The church has to wake up and stop visiting God and start living with him. That's what has to happen. Your freedom and everything you desire. Healings. Guys, come on. Can you imagine the life you live if you were to dwell with him? How tremendously perfect everything would be in your life. And you go, can that be? Yes, it can. Why? Because you're making no provision for the flesh. The flesh is going to continue to rob and steal from the things of God that he has prepared for you. But my Bible tells me that he has prepared a place where neither moth nor rust can destroy and take away the things that God has prepared for me. So if I live there, what does that mean? I hate to say it. Can the church possibly become untouchable? Yeah. Only if we start to actually dwell with him where he has called us to be. We have zero authority or zero power when we try to operate from this position. I hate to quote it, but it's true. We need to take the high ground. And I think it's absolutely awesome how the position that God has placed and prepared for us is the actual high ground. You have the high ground when you dwell with him. You have the high position, you have the highest authority, and you have all things according to God who provides and supplies. Stand up, church. If you can. Father, empower your people. Lead them. Guide them. Instruct them. Through that washing of the water of the word, God, let them see what you are revealing. Let them see this tabernacle. Let them see where you are calling them to dwell, God, and let them bury their flesh once and for all and make their dwelling place where you have called us to be. Let us find our seats. Let us respond. Let us stop trying to accomplish things and do things that we think are spiritual or that we think are good or that we think are going to produce some kind of fruit in our life. When all we are doing is continuing to waste the time, the precious time that we have here, where you have called us to just dwell with you and perform the services of the priesthood. Let us respond to that call. Let us not focus on gifts and talents and callings and all these other things. Let us not see with our physical eyes, but let us see with the eyes of the Spirit. Let us respond to the Spirit of God who is moving right here, right now. Holy Spirit, touch us. Meet us. Instruct us. Give us your plan. Give us your purpose. Show us the way so that we can take our seats and dwell with you, God, here and for all eternity. Lord, have your way and let your people respond. In Jesus' name, amen.